the American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard on corners in town. There's a cancer called crime in our cities and an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back, put an end to the gangs and the drugs in the streets, and the fact that the bad guys most always go free, that is wrong. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, and take all our money and send it abroad. Some city schoolyard. When bullets and birth control outnumber books, something's wrong. There's a hunger for good news and heroes, but good news is no news, so all of the heroes are gone. We must take America. And the fact that the bad guys most always go free, that is wrong. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, and take all our money and send it abroad. We must take America back. We need prayer in the schools and more things made in USA. It's the least we can do for the red, white, and blue. We must take America back.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're here. This is the National Intel Report. Running into the studio here on this 15th day of November, and that is 2004. Program airs Monday through Friday, and if one more person moves this atomic clock in here, I'm going to shoot him. We have an atomic clock sitting on the desk, and if you move it one way or another, an inch, it loses its signal. Got to love those atomic clocks. At any rate, program airs Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m., and as it does on this day, I didn't do anything for Veterans Day, folks. It's because I didn't even want to go there. At any rate, my guest today is going to be Lindsey Williams. And first, I want to go through some information on oil and the war fraud traced back to the White House, how California's energy scam was inextricably linked to a war for oil scheme. Catherine Eureka wrote this. She says that the story begins with the California energy crisis, which started in 2000. And continued through the early months of 2001. When electricity prices spiked to their highest levels, prices went from $12 per megawatt hour in 1998 to $200 in December of 2000 to $250 in January 2000, and at times a megawatt cost as much as $1,000. One event occurred earlier on July 13th, 1998. Employees of one of the two power marketing centers in California watched incredulously as the wholesale price of $1 a megawatt hour spiked to $9,999, stayed at that price for 4 hours, then dropped to a penny. Someone was testing the system to find the limits of the market exploitation, I guess you could call. This incident was the earliest indication that the people of the state could become victims of fraud. The Sacramento Bee broke the story 3 years later on May 6th of 2001. Today, Californians are still paying the cost of the debacle, while according to state officials, the power companies who manipulated the energy markets reaped more than $7.5 billion and unfair profits. During these early months of the Bush administration, and even during the prior transition period, Dick Cheney was deeply involved in gathering information for a national energy policy. The intelligence he gathered would provide justification for a war against Iraq, but would also place White House footprints all over the fraud scam. This is how it all happened. That Ken Lay, the former chairman of Enron, enjoyed a long and close relationship with George Bush Sr. is a well-known fact, while it isn't so well-known that George W. Bush also benefited from a close relationship with Mr. Lay. No one supported the younger Bush quite like Lay did. Enron executives contributed more than $2 million to George W., his political campaign since 1999, earning Lay an open door to the governor's office. Lay was also Bush's number one choice for Treasury Secretary. A study authorized by Representative Henry Waxman reveals that Enron had 112 known contacts with the Bush administration in 2001 alone. This figure does not include 73 disclosed contracts between former Armored Secretary Thomas White and his former colleagues in Enron, and that would be Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld, who recently fired White, by the way. Significantly, Ken Lay was a close friend of Dick Cheney, who was a former Enron shareholder. Now, it should come to no one's surprise that given the relationships, Ken Lay was selected to work on the Bush Energy Transition Team under the chairmanship of Cheney. Lay's easiest assignment? Well, he interviewed potential candidates for the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, an agency that would oversee his company, and months later lead to a slow, long investigation in Enron's role in the California energy debacle. The president picked Lay's nominee, Pat Wood, to serve as chairman of the agency. Ken Lay was a very useful and very knowledgeable man to have around. He knew, for instance, of the holes in the California power market that could be exploited. He tried to warn public officials about the problem in 1994 when Enron testified at a Public Utility Commission hearing. Unfortunately, his advice was ignored. Enron then went with the flow. It reversed itself, endorsed the system, and then lauded the politicians for setting up what Enron knew was an exploitable and faulty infrastructure. As events would unfold, the dark side of Enron got part of its comeuppance when the Justice Department began investigations on Enron's role in the California energy disaster. Along with Dynergy and other power brokering companies, Enron employees were subject to federal criminal charges. One Enron employee pleaded guilty to wire fraud, while Dynergy agreed to pay $5 million in fines. Now, enter a little damning document here. In April of 2001, Ken Lay handed Dick Cheney a two-page memorandum recommending national energy policy changes. The memo contained Enron's positions on specific rather than technical issues, which were presented as a fix to the California crisis. Now, Enron, remember, brazenly advised the administration not to place price caps on energy, which would be precisely the request California officials made to the president, and which the president and vice president would just brazenly deny until public pressure forced them to capitulate. According to a special report prepared for Henry Waxman, over 17 energy policies recommended by Enron made their way into the official White House National Energy Policy Report. Congress awoke from its sleep, I guess you could call it, having become alarmed at Enron's close association with the Bush administration. Congressional committees asked Dick Cheney for the names of those advised that were advising him and the reports he relied upon in drafting the nation's energy policy. Cheney bluntly and adamantly refused to reveal those facts. After months of standoff, the General Accounting Office filed a suit against the vice president in an effort to obtain the requested information. The White House then deployed a fascinating legal strategy that helped them triumph over the legislative branch. Defense attorneys from the Civil Division of the Justice Department should have been assigned to the case. However, in an unprecedented move, the Bush administration required the services of the nation's number one gun, Theodore Olson, the Solicitor General, who normally only makes appearances before the Supreme Court. Olson, his assistant, Solicitor General, and a handpicked group of Justice Department lawyers formed a special trial defense task force to defend the vice president. This act telegraphed to the court, press, and the public that this was no ordinary case. The move paid off. A federal judge found for Mr. Cheney, and the GAO declined to file an appeal. That more or less marked the end of the story, but then something happened. Enter an obscure news article. On October 6th of 2002, a newspaper in UK published a little-known article about Mr. Cheney's advisors. According to Neil McKay, An award-winning journalist writing for Scotland's Sunday Herald, Dick Cheney commissioned an energy report from ex-Secretary of State James Baker III. The time of this commission is not reported, but since the members of the appointed task force held three video conferences and teleconferences in December, January, and February, ranging from 2000 to 2001, Cheney therefore logically contacted Baker sometime prior to the December 2000 meeting during the presidential transition period. Now, James Baker, this is the guy, entered the guy that gets things done. Oh, yeah. James Baker was uniquely situated to fulfill Cheney's commission, for among the many hats he wears, he's a legal counsel for the Carlyle Group, one of the nation's largest defense investment firms, whose board consists of former high-level government officials, including George Bush Sr. Baker was also on the hired gun for George W. Bush's campaign in Florida, along with Karl Rove, but among the hats he wears, none is more valuable than his ability to become invisible and leave no fingerprints behind. James Baker courts the press and is hailed as a statesman. He also serves as honorary chairman of the James Baker III Institute for Public Policy at Rice University, a think tank that was involved in aiding the George W. Bush presidential transition team. Now, equally intriguing is the fact that Baker has ties with both the Bushes and Ken Lay. Years earlier in 93, after Baker stepped down from his stint as Secretary of State, he and Robert A. Mosbacher, Bush's senior commerce secretary, signed a joint consulting and investing agreement with Enron. The two men began a lucrative career making joint global investments with Enron on natural gas products, or projects, I should say. Baker Botts, LLC, James Baker's law firm, flourished in its specialty of international oil and gas counseling. Since Baker walked into their circles when he set out to select an energy team to advise the White House, he filled it with leaders of the oil, gas, and power industries. Three appointees stand out. Ken Lay from Enron, who was working on the Bush Energy Transition Team under Dick Cheney at the time. Chuck Watson, the then chairman and CEO of Houston's Dynergy Incorporated. And Dynergy's general counsel and secretary, Kenneth Randolph. Both firms were deeply involved in illegally manipulating the California energy market at the time and eventually faced criminal investigations. The oil men selected for the task force were Louise, and I do believe this is Gusti, a Shell non-executive director, formerly CEO of a little company down in Venezuela called Petrolos de Venezuela S.A., John Manzoni, regional president of British Petroleum, David O'Reilly, chief executive of Chevron Texaco, and Stephen L. Miller, board chairman, CEO, and president of Shell Oil. In his Sunday Herald article, Neil Mackey links another fellow of the Baker Institute to the document, Sheikh Saad al-Nasser al-Sabah. The former Kuwaiti oil minister, the Baker's Institute report on energy, was funded through Khalid al-Turki and Arthur Ross Foundations. Sometimes a mystery is hidden in a loaded detail that most of us would rather skip over. A case in point is this. The Baker Task Force report shows a 41-member task force, but the press release gives 51 as the number. This, of course, could be just a typo. But when we look at the structure as revealed in the report, it shows the Baker Energy Task Force team was divided into three separate groups. First came the names of the 41 All-Star Task Force. Secondly came the names of the nine observers. And thirdly, there was an unknown number forming a group of reviewers whose identities were not disclosed, but who collectively had broad academic, economic, and energy expertise. According to the acknowledgments, these individuals reviewed drafts of the report at various stages and participated in the task force meetings. Perhaps most telling admission is that the final version was greatly enhanced by this shadowy little core. Enter major document number one. The Baker Energy Task Force produced a report titled Strategic Energy Policy Challenges for the 21st Century, dated April 2001. There is no mistaking the fact that reasonable, detailed, and important expert advice is meted out to the new president. However, this amazing 107-page report strikes a drumbeat for action that grabs the reader as it propels a picture of naked, energy-scarce nation subject to energy shortages and price fluctuations across its pages, contrasting the state of what is against what should be, and mercifully making powerful recommendations that will save our economy. It offers warnings such as a sharp rise in oil prices preceded every American recession since the 1940s. The California energy crisis is raised again and again, along with a prophecy that Americans expect more California-like incidents. In the future, there is even a connection made between the California crisis and the Middle East, which, according to the report, will remain the world's base-loaded supplier and least expensive source of oil for the foreseeable future. With that prophetic utterance, the stage is now set for a new actor, a new villain, and a new energy policy. Enter Saddam Hussein. According to the Baker Report, Saddam Hussein became a swing oil producer by turning Iraq's oil taps on and off whenever he felt that it was in his interest to do so. During these periods, Saudi Arabia stepped up to the plate and provided replacement oil supplies to the market to keep California-type disruptions and scarcity from occurring in America. Hussein, the report says, used his own export program to manipulate oil markets. The report implications are clear. The national energy security of the U.S. was now in the hands of an open adversary, and the Saudis might not make up the difference in the future. The Baker Report recommends the United States should conduct an immediate policy review of Iraq, including militarily, energy, economic, and political and diplomatic assessments. Sanctions that are not effective should be phased out and replaced with highly focused and enforced sanctions that target the regime's ability to maintain and acquire weapons of mass destruction. Military intervention is listed as a viable prospect. According to Neil McKay in the Sunday Herald article, James Baker delivered a report to Dick Cheney in person in mid-April 2001. The subsequent events of September 11, 2001 helped take the world's eyes away from the notion that an invasion of Iraq is for oil, but according to McKay's sources, the Bush cabinet agreed to military intervention in Iraq 6 months earlier in April of 2001. Enter major document 2 and 3. And then after I get done with this, I'll bring up Lindsey Williams, but I wanted him to hear this. A haunting familiarity exists between the Baker Energy Report and another policy paper that could negatively impact the Bush administration. The style of the two reports is similar, particularly in discussions on national security. Their task force methodologies are essentially the same. They share the repeated use of relatively rare term. They share similarly constructed phrases. They both name Iraq as an adversary, and they both attack problems in the same manner. There is a possibility that one writer served on both task forces. A little background is necessary on this one. In June of 97, a group of former Republican administration folks, officials, launched the Project for the New American Century, a think tank offering research and analysis on revolution in modern military methods and military objectives. Like the Energy Task Force, the passionate neoconservative authors endowed their principles with hard-hitting force, calling for the necessity of preserving and extending an international order friendly to America's security, prosperity, and principles. The founders wrote, and I'm quoting them, "The history of the 20th century should have taught us that it is important to shape circumstances before crises emerge and to meet threats before they become dire." In fact, on page 51 and page 67 of the Institute's intellectual centerpiece, Rebuilding America's Defenses, the authors lament that the process of transforming the military would most likely be a long one absent some catastrophic and catalyzing event, like a new Pearl Harbor. How unfortunate for Americans they got their needed event on September 11, 2001. The signers to these principles read like the who's who of the Bush administration, plus a chorus line of supporters, Dick Cheney, I. Lewis Libby, Donnie Rumsfeld, Paul Wolfowitz, Elliot Abrams, plus other world-famous Bill Bennett, Jeb Bush, Dan Quayle, among others. The signers endorse two other dynamic enabling policies, increased military spending and the necessity of challenging regimes hostile to America's interests and values. The 76-page Rebuilding America's Defenses was published in 2000 with a lot of expositional swagger. The authors created not only the ideal military preparedness level for their goal of global domination, but they identified a new kind of warfare that requires far less force than the military was accustomed to accept. What's more, they identified the hostile regimes mentioned in the principles to none other than Iraq, North Korea, Iran, and Syria. I'll do a little bit more of this, and then we'll bring up Lindsey Williams. Stay tuned, everybody. We'll be right back.
Essential oils are one of the great untapped resources of the world. These God-given concentrated essences are gently steamed from various flowers, fruits, trees, and plants, and they have been used for centuries as ancient medicine. Essential oils are so sweet-smelling, many people believe their value to be of charm and fragrance. But this is a mistake. Modern scientific research has proven the molecular structure of essential oils is highly oxygenating in nature, increasing vitality and energy to the body. They are soothing, relaxing, medicinal, and cleansing to the air, and flavorful in food or drinks. Find out more about this ancient medicine by calling toll-free at 1-800-993-OILS. That's 1-800-993-OILS. You can also visit our website at www.naturesoils.org and rediscover ancient secrets with therapeutic grade A essential oils.
You have heard it said, coffee is not good for you. Well, the secret of Asia has finally arrived in America. Gano Cafe, a healthy coffee, gives you energy and vigor, increases your focus and mental clarity. Gano Cafe helps the body heal itself, strengthen the immune system, and waste elimination for detoxification. If you're a coffee drinker, you won't believe the wonderful taste of this coffee. Ganoderma, commonly known as the reishi mushroom, has been utilized in Chinese medicine for over 2,000 years. Also known as the longevity herb and miraculous king of herbs, it's more powerful than ginseng and has much lower caffeine and acid. For all our products or to join us on our wellness journey to Manzanillo, Mexico in February, go to bodymindconnect.com or call 1-800-396-5292. Again, 1-800-396-5292.
Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of choice garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN Network.
Folks, we're back. Lindsey Williams is patiently holding, and I hope he holds for a few more minutes here, because now we're starting to get into the meat of this deal. Talking about the signers of the principles, talking about rebuilding America's defenses. Mm-hmm. The report credits Tom Donnelly, a military writer, as principal author, and lists 27 participants, some of whom contributed a paper to the discussion. A list of participants. Well, you could guess it. Dick Cheney's presence, chief of staff, I. Lewis Libby, as well as Paul Wolfowitz. The two documents clearly show that before George Bush took office, key officials of his future administration not only listed Iraq, Iran, and North Korea as adversaries who are rushing to develop ballistic missiles and nuclear weapons as a deterrent to American intervention in regions they seek to dominate, but endorsed an alien concept, the doctrine of preemptive strikes against those nations believed to have hostile intent against the U.S. before such intent is manifested. Do you understand what I just read to you, folks? There's some people here that want to become filthy rich. They'll put our boys in harm's way. And they may or may not have weapons of mass destruction, but it doesn't matter to them. It's the values of the American government is what I'm talking about. Enter document number 4. On May 16, 2001, Dick Cheney officially handed the National Energy Policy, the report, to George W. Bush. Ostensibly, the cabinet members that formed the National Energy Policy Development Group were its authors, but a careful study of the comparison of the national report with the Baker Report reveals the Baker Report provided the skeleton framework upon which the National Energy Policy was hung. However, the skeleton was broken up in unrelated parts, the skull in the middle, and the thigh bone on top. When it was all unraveled, almost every major policy action in the Baker Report was incorporated into the National Report. The tedious process of comparing the two reports with each other occasionally revealed a subtlety. For example, the Baker Report says the U.S. must have a strategic energy policy based on energy security. The National Report subtly changes this one to, the NEPD group recommends that the president make energy security a priority of our trade and foreign policy. This foreign policy change led to the discovery that an important topic is missing from the National Report. Although every other oil-producing country was discussed in the national energy text, two countries were glaringly omitted from even a mention, Iraq and Iran. There's an explanation for the omissions. First, the reading the Baker Report, one is struck with the strategic military information provided, which would be odd and inappropriate in a report on energy. Secondly, the Baker Report is divided into two sections. The first part focuses on strategic steps the new administration should take immediately. The second part focuses on long-range energy policies. Taking care of Iraq is listed as an immediate step in the Baker Report. The National Report, however, focuses solely on long-range policy. Now, one of the most striking facts about the National Report is that it makes 110 references to California's energy crisis, which was 99 more than Baker Report makes. Clearly, someone in the White House needed an impressive energy crisis to tout. How unfortunate that the crisis cited was fraudulently induced. Like the Baker Report, the National Report states, the California experience demonstrates the crippling effect that electricity shortages and blackouts can have on a state or region. Warnings abounded. America in the year 2001 faces the most serious energy shortages since the oil embargoes of the 1970s. The 110 repetitions of the word California linked with words like energy crisis and energy shortages and price spikes could turn the National Energy Report into an ad man's prize primer. Notwithstanding its importance as an example of what could happen to other states, the author of the passage at page 5 through 12, by the way, if you want to look this up, of the National Report suddenly yields to the impulse to relate what it really happened in California. In doing so, he completely contradicts at least 105 references to California throughout the report. The significance of this contradictory entry into the national energy policy must not be underestimated. In the process of reversing the carefully construed California experience, the author's grasp exceeds his knowledge in what his understanding of the events in California go beyond what he should have reasonably known at the time of its writing. For he wrote, the risk that the California experience will repeat itself is low since other states have not modeled their retail competition plans on California's plans. This is an astounding statement. If the California crisis was caused by a supply shortage, as the author claims, a line above that sentence, surely other states could suffer similar shortages. But no, the author is actually making an admission here. He's admitting that the energy crisis in California can't be replicated in other states because certain market means do not exist in other states. How could the author know this? The writer of that sentence would have to be someone intimately involved in the California system, know the real cause of the state's crisis, and be familiar with all other state rules and market infrastructures. It's a scam, folks. The reason why we're in Iraq right now, it's a scam. The demand in the White House right now that you voted in as a second-term president because you were too afraid of John Kerry. Well, why? What's the difference between the two of them? You'd get the same brand of fascism or socialism or communism out of either one of them. But these people that are out there thinking, you know what I equate this to? You're standing at a precipice and you're staring into the pit of nothing. And somebody comes along and you know that's certain death. And you know you're going into that pit. And somebody throws you a lifeline, although it tattered, and you know in your heart, if you grab a hold of that lifeline, it's going to snap, and you're going to go right into that abyss. But you know what you're going to do? You're not going to voluntarily fall into that pit, but you're going to grab for that lifeline that you know is not going to support your weight, and you're going to that pit anyhow. Hope? I wouldn't call it hope. I would call it desperation. What I see in the White House right now, it's not a mandate, it's a nation of desperate people. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Hey, Jack Blood here. And folks, I wanted to take a minute to discuss your health. You know, the vicious cycle of treating symptoms of disease with drugs and surgery simply create more symptoms, leading to a greater dependence on the pharma cartels. There is a solution. Herbal Healer Academy, headed by the esteemed Dr. Mirijah McCain, have hundreds of natural products to treat the source of disease and illness. Herbal Healer Academy also provides many natural detox products to protect you and your family against chemtrails, aspartame, pesticides, radiation, MSG, and more. Herbal Healer Academy also provides herbs, vitamins, and correspondence courses so you can become an expert in natural medicine. Herbal Healer Academy is one-stop shopping for all of your healthy living needs. Why not call them now for a free brochure? 870-269-4177 for your free brochure at 870-269-4177 or dial them up on the web at www.herbalhealer.com. Tell them Jack Blood sent you. Hey, Jack Blood here. It's been said that those who do not learn from history are doomed to repeat it. It's hard to learn from history, though, with the propaganda, lies, and blatant omissions webbed together by the controlled mediums we count on for our information. That's why the Barnes Review is so valuable to researchers like myself. The Barnes Review carries titles such as Andrew Jackson's Prophetic Warnings, Why Civilizations Self-Destruct, or House of Rothschild, one of my all-time favorites. Why not call the Barnes Review now to receive your copy of their bi-monthly newsletter? Buy $50 worth of books and get a discount on your subscription. The Barnes Review, 877-773-9077. That's 877-773-9077. Or view them online right now at www.barnesreview.com. Or just click on our link at jackblood.com. We'll see you there.
Introducing the world's best air purifier. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does in cleaning and purifying the air in your home. Pet, cooking, cigarette, or even cigar smoke is no problem for this air purifier. It's so powerful, it kills molds and mildews as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. There are no moving parts to break, no plates to clean, and no filters to replace. Call 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200. Or visit the website now, www.aranair.us. That's www.aranair.us. Again, www.aranair.us.
Tuned in to the National Intel Report, the real talk radio show.
And by the way, the rats are continuing to jump ship in the Bush-Cheney administration. At least Condoleezza Rice, likely successor, three others in cabinet resign. U.S. Secretary of State Colin Powell announced Monday that he was resigning, and senior U.S. sources said National Security Advisor Condoleezza Rice is his likely successor. Oh, boy, don't we need that. My guest today, Lindsey Williams. Lindsey, how are you doing this afternoon?
John, everything you have just said I am fascinated with, and it's true. It punctuates everything that I say in my book, The Energy Non-Crisis and Syndrome of Control, except you get 200 pages in each one of the books of the same thing you've just said as I actually heard it and saw it as I sat in their board meetings a number of years ago with the most powerful, controlling, manipulative people on the face of the earth. But John, before we go any further this afternoon, I'd like to say for your sake and also for the sake of your listeners, I do a lot of radio shows, and because of the price of crude oil going up and the price of gasoline at the gas pump, it's almost every few days. But I'd like to express to your listening audience that they should listen to everything you say, take to heart everything that you give, because you're giving out the truth in such an amazing way that the last time I had the privilege of being on your show about a month ago, I had the largest response of people calling in to that show of any show. Now, I'm talking about my personal response to my 800 service. I had the largest response that I've had to any show in the past year that I've done. You're doing something right. Undoubtedly, people are listening to what you have to say, and they're believing it because it's the truth. And the article that you've just read just merely punctuates the fact that all of this is exactly what's happening. Nothing in government happens by chance. Everything happens by a design plan. The Bush administration, the resignation of Colin Powell just this morning, all the things that are happening, every bit of it is by a design plan. So in order for the listening audience, which has such a high regard and respect for you, and believe me, they do, some of the remarks that came into my 800 service as they got my videotapes and books were phenomenal as to how much respect they have for you. I want to do again today what I did back then, and that is give away a copy of all four of my books. Every one of them are over 200 pages. We'll talk about that later, but I just want the audience to know that I want to give them as a gift all four of my books, over 200 pages each in relation to the videotapes and so on. But everything you have just said is true. There is a group of people upon the face of the earth who are controlling the world. Nothing happens by chance. Everything by design plan. The American people have been hoodwinked, just as you have said. This presidential election had to have been one of the most desperate things I've ever seen. I've never seen people in such a mental state as I've seen them in the past 2 to 3 weeks with people who call my office and talk with me. It is a desperate, you know, even the Bible says a nation divided against itself can't stand. And it frightens me to think, here is crude oil, nearly $50 a barrel. Here we're paying $2 a gallon at the gas pump for a gallon of gasoline. The diesel trucks that burn diesel fuel are paying more than gasoline, even though it costs less to produce the diesel fuel. So it shows that every bit of it is by a design plan. And there's only one way that the average person listening to this radio talk show today is going to be able to overcome them, and that is to know how these people think. When we know how they think, then we can in turn prepare our own lives for the inevitable. And believe me, the next 4 years, in my estimation, will produce somewhere in the neighborhood of $3 to $4 per gallon at the gas pump. And I believe this will happen probably within 1 year, because Morgan Stanley, one of the greatest prognosticators in the country, just said a few days ago oil will reach $61 a barrel before there is a sell-off. So we are headed for one of the most catastrophic events that could ever be imagined. But the American people can do something about it. And you can prepare your own household, but in order to do it, you must know the issues. Oh, please listen to what John Stadtmiller is saying about Iran. If you think Iraq is an issue, you haven't seen anything. Iraq is a Sunday school picnic, and Bush has already made it plain that Iran must have something done about their nuclear arsenal, which may or may not exist, but be assured of one thing, he's going to do something about it. John, I was so glad to hear you mention Iran in that article just a moment ago, because it is one of the most one of the biggest powder kegs on the face of the earth today, and I have it in my book. Syndrome of Control talks about the issue of Iran, why it's an issue, from a congressman who said to me one day, he said, Lindsey, if you're crazy enough to print it, I'll give it to you. And I said, what do you mean? He said, I wouldn't dare put it in a book for anything, but he said, you're already so controversial, it doesn't matter. He said, I will dictate it to you if you'll dare put it in your book. And as a result, I have one half of my book of over 200 pages long entitled Syndrome of Control. It talks about Iran. And if you want to talk about a powder keg, oh, my goodness, listen to what this congressman has to say about the issues in Iran right now. So for your listening audience, since we can only have a matter of minutes here to do this over the air today, please read it all in my four books, The Energy Non-Crisis, my second book, Syndrome of Control, my book, To Seduce a Nation, my book, You Can Live. Let me give you a copy of all the four of these books as a gift any time that you get one of my videotapes. Get all four videotapes. I'll give you four sets of books. Give them out to everybody you can. I want to clear out my warehouse. I would love to be able to help you know the truth and the facts so that you can prepare your household for the inevitable that John has just read about. So, John, congratulations. Well, you are doing a masterful job.
Well, Lindsay, I appreciate that, but the voice only goes so far, and we need more avenues in which to get the truth out to the American people. It's a commodity more valuable than any gold on the face of the planet or any oil or anything monetary. Lindsay, truth by itself is a commodity that can't be bought or traded, and this is something that's been kept from the American people. They've been lied to so much. I was thinking about this morning, Lindsay, that I cannot ever remember when the government ever told the American people the truth about anything. It is so contrived, and everything is so controlled, that it is just absolutely, absolutely astounding. You and I spoke earlier today about what I'm calling the postpartum election depression that's set in on people. There is a cloud hanging over people's heads. What they are not admitting. Now, the people that voted for Bush, they'd seen this character for 4 years. They weren't comfortable with Kerry, so they had to take at least the lesser of the two evils. But what is on people's minds, and they have not verbalized it yet, is that there is no hope. Under the current administration, under the current Congress, the current Senate, the current state governments, the way they have the game rigged, that there is little or no hope under this current system. And as my analogy of the deep, dark, endless abyss versus somebody throwing you a tattered lifeline that you know is going to snap, but you're going to grab that line in your one futile attempt to save your life, even in the back of your mind knowing that this is not going to hold me and I'm going to fall into that abyss. This is what happened with the George Bush election. Lindsay, I am thoroughly convinced of it. That it is better to vote for a supposed Christian Republican than it would be for John Kerry. Well, both of them ground up together, the skull and bones, cousins that they are, wouldn't fill up the thimble or make a pimple on a good man's backside. People need to know the truth, Lindsay.
Since there is no hope in the present system, and I'll agree with you that 100%. I mean, you are exactly right on that. And you're leading your people right, that's listening to you on the air. Since there is no hope in the present system, there can be hope for the individual household, and you can spare yourself much heartache and pain, and you can save your family from maybe even starvation or problems that may develop in the future. But you can only do it when you know the issues, and your program is doing such an amazing job of presenting those. My four books, I'm begging you to let me give them to you. I feel that America is in such a desperate condition that a number of months ago I said, hey, no sense in me keeping my books around any longer. I may as well do everything I can, make a last-ditch effort if I can to warn people so that they can prepare their own households. And as a result, I'm giving them away whenever a person gets one of my videotapes, only $25 plus shipping and handling. But you get $35 worth of books, and if you buy all four videotapes, I give you four sets of my books so you can give them out to your friends and neighbors. And everything that John is saying on his program is exactly that, is exactly right. There is a group of people on the face of the earth who are controlling the world. And, yes, the system, hopeless, but the individual household, you can help spare yourself if you know the issues and know them soon enough. I mean, it was said very well by Senator Hugh Chance in the foreword to my book, The Energy Non Crisis. He was a state senator in the state of Colorado. He came to Prudhoe Bay and stayed with me 1 week. After he met with Mr. Ken Fromm, Mr. Jim Lawler, the senior executives with the oil companies, he looked at the mock-up of the oil field. He saw everything that they had to give him. They did not deny him anything. And when he was ready to leave to go back to Colorado 1 week later, he said to me, Lindsay, I can hardly believe what I've seen and heard today. Now, you'll find this written in the foreword to my book, The Energy Non-Crisis, by Senator Hugh Chance with his name on it. And he said, Lindsay, I can hardly believe it because I sat in the Senate of the state of Colorado a few weeks ago. I heard the men come from Washington, D.C., that briefed us as state senators as to the energy crisis. He said, what I have seen and heard here today on the pipeline in Alaska at Prudhoe Bay is the exact opposite to everything I was told by those men who came from Washington as federal briefers to us who were in the Senate of Colorado. He said, I was intentionally misbriefed. I was intentionally lied to. And he said almost everything they told me was the exact opposite of what I have been able to document right here on the pipeline. So the only place on the face of this earth that you will find a chapter telling about the largest oil pool in North America, probably the largest pool on the face of the earth, is my book, The Energy Non-Crisis, and it is entitled Gull Island Will Blow Your Mind. The sequel to that, the next chapter, If Gull Island Didn't Blow Your Mind, This Will. And right now, I had a phone call just, I think it was yesterday, from a person that said, let's don't open up the wildlife refuge to drilling. Why don't we just produce from the pool of oil that they already know that is there and is kept? We could bring America out of its crisis within a few months' time by merely using the oil that we have on our own soil that is not being allowed to be produced, and it's not being allowed to be produced by design plans so that we can stay obligated to the Arabs. This whole Iraq thing can continue to unfold. Iran can be brought into the situation of the second administration of the Bush cabinet administration. Mark my words. Watch it. You'll consider this program prophetic in a few weeks' time. Watch Iran. It will be there's going to be some major issues in relation to Iran. Then watch the price of that crude oil. Yes, it's right now kind of stabilized around $47, $50 a barrel. Mark my words, it's going to go to $60 and $70 a barrel. You farmers that think that you can farm your crops with those diesel tractors at the price you're doing right now, you'd better get prepared. Read my books and know the issues. And the people who are buying the gas at the gas pump, you are going to see $3 to $4 per gallon, and it's all by a design plan. When I sat in the board meetings with these oil company officials, and afterwards I felt such a moral obligation, I could not stand myself until I wrote my manuscript, The Energy Non-Crisis. I heard them talking about a 30-year plan. That's right, a 30-year plan that they had for what they intended to do, and they have carried it out so far to the letter, exactly as they said they're going to do it. Now, all of this is by a design plan and is exactly what John Stadtmiller is trying to say to you who are out there in the listening audience on this program today. Listen to him. He's telling the truth, helping with his new network. Get the message out. These group of people, somebody said to me the other day, well, who are they? Come on now. Give me a name. I want a family name. Well, usually that's what you hear, you know. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to say it's nothing more than the World Bank. Find out who it is that's controlling that and our money supply through the Federal Reserve. Oh, watch out for interest rates. You haven't seen anything yet. They're going to continue to go up. House loans, all the rest of it. Someone said, well, shouldn't I refinance my house? Okay, go ahead. Step into that that abyss that John was just talking about a moment ago. Refinance your house. Then when the interest rates go to the point that they're going to have them and the rest of the economy goes where it's going, how are you going to make that house payment? Don't dare fall for their line. Learn the facts and the issues. I beg you, let me give you a copy of all four of my books so you can learn not only what John is saying on his program, but what I experienced personally as I sat in the board meetings with these people and heard what they had to say. It's all by a design plan, and this is what you're going to see. $3 to $4 a gallon, increased interest rates. Iran is going to come into the issue. Iraq, they blew up three oil pipelines on yesterday. It can't help but do anything but bring the price of that oil up. John?
Lindsay, repeat what you said. I think you went over that maybe too quickly for a lot of people to catch. What happened in Iran yesterday?
I heard, and it's only been on one time, and it was on the evening news last night about 10 o'clock, and it said that they had blown up three different pipelines in Iraq on yesterday. It did not appear on today's news. Oil prices have not gone up yet. But mark my words, with the uprising that's taking place in Iraq, which our government cannot control, they can go in there and take all the Fallujahs they want to. The people will just break out in another part of Iraq. We are in an unwinnable war. They continue to blow up pipelines over there, and it is going to cause the price of that crude oil to increase, and George Bush is in big trouble.
Well, so far, Lindsay, they have not really had a credible reason for raising the price of oil. I don't believe that it's costing them any more to get this out of the ground at various supply points around the earth. They've jacked up the price of the oil per barrel, but the prices, even on light sweet crude, was trading at, what, $20 a year ago?
Yes.
Okay, so logically, and by market demand, and this is all fixed principle here, folks, that if the price of their crude product or the product they're going to refine doubles, well, then doesn't it follow that the price of their refined product at the pump would also double?
Anytime the price of a gallon of gas at the gas pump goes to $2 or more a gallon, the people who control the world make $60 billion per year, and it is a form of taxation. Now, if they went in and taxed your paycheck that much, you would rise up in arms. But they're taxing you at the gas pump, and you pay $2 a gallon at the gas pump. They're making $60 billion a year off of the people of this world, and they're taking it right into the World Bank to finance their scam programs, and every single bit of it's according to the design plan.
All right. When we get back, Lindsay, I want you to put out your toll-free number in which the people can get the free books, and also hopefully they get all your videos. We'll do that right after this short break. Stay tuned.
The Bill of Rights protects every American's God-given right to keep and bear arms. Now that right is being seriously undermined as legally registered rifles are being confiscated in some parts of our country. If we're not careful, we may find ourselves with no right to own guns. And that's where Gun Owners of America comes in. Gun Owners of America is in Washington every day fighting for you to keep that right. Congressman Ron Paul has called GOA the only no-compromise gun lobby in Washington. You need to be part of this great grassroots group of activists who are keeping the heat on their members of Congress. Find out right now how you can join. Call 888-886-GUNS and get started receiving their fact-filled newsletters and action alerts. Call 888-886-GUNS or go to their webpage at gunowners.org and help make your voice heard in Washington. Make that call right now and call Gun Owners of America at 888-886-GUNS. Remember, it's not just about gun control, it's about control.
Looking for a quality shortwave radio without spending hundreds of dollars? The Sangian 505P shortwave radio is the answer. Featuring continuous tuning for all shortwave frequencies, utilizing direct keypad tuning. Dual conversion improves shortwave image for better shortwave reception. Single sideband allows for reception of upper and lower sideband signals. Other features include 45 station memory, auto preset system, auto memory scan, tone controls, dual time display, and adjustable sleep timers. Included accessories, the AMT60 portable shortwave antenna, AC adapter, stereo earbuds, and a soft-sided carrying case. Also, a one-year full factory warranty on parts and labor. All this for only $139. Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200. Call today.
Available from the Republic Broadcasting Network. Broadcasting
Network. Broadcasting. Now you have the time to review every spoken word
on any RBN program
by ordering CDs of any broadcast in either standard audio or MP3 format. Audio CDs are just $10 per hour,
$15 for 2 hours,
and $7 when you order 3 or more hours. An entire month of your favorite broadcaster in MP3 format for just $20. So order right, Republic Broadcasting, 1015 South Mays, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. That address again is Republic Broadcasting, 1015 South Mays, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Or for more information, call 1-800-724-2719.
And on the web at rbnlive.com.
Order your CDs today because you can handle the truth.
There's already been some inkling out of the White House that, well, now that the GOP, they gained in Congress, Bush is actually looking to drill in Alaska. Well, we're talking about new tax incentives to spur construction of next-generation nuclear power plants, even though we can't get rid of the nuclear waste we have now. They said it will be back on the table after the Democrats and some moderate Republicans scuttled them last year. You know, they were talking about doing this last year. Oh, greater use of corn-based ethanol in gasoline is also wide support in the White House and in Congress. Drilling in the Alaska Refuge has been all but dismissed as unachievable since drilling opponents 2 years ago beat back a pro-development measure by a 52-48 vote. Bush did not make an issue of the refuge during the presidential campaign. I wonder why. Lindsay, I wonder why.
Very obvious. They have a plan. They have something that they intend to do, which is going to put dollars and cents in their pocket, which will help to enslave the American people, bring our economy into exactly what they want it to be, and every single bit of it they had planned before the election ever took place. And I sat back the day after the election and thought, well, I don't think I'll even listen this morning because I already know who's going to win.
The number that people need to call to get your offer of your free books.
All of my books are full-length books. None of them are pamphlets. Over 200 pages. 800-321-2900. Now, any time that you order one of my videotapes, you get a set of the books free of charge. The videotapes are The Energy Non-Crisis, a one-hour video lecture that I give. Everything about energy imaginable, up to date today, because even though I said it back then, it's right now. Vaccinations, oh my goodness. Please know how the powers that be are controlling many facets of our lifestyle with vaccinations. Dan Malmstrom said, in the past few years, we've found numerous reports publicized in the media and magazines of negative reaction to drugs and vaccinations, which are the prime cause of the DPT shot is the prime cause of crib deaths, spinal meningitis, brain damage, and other problems. Listen to the two doctors on my videotape vaccinations. Deadly new diseases. Oh, for goodness sakes. Don't go and watch very carefully about that flu shot this year. Oh, my goodness. Think twice before you take it. The deadly new diseases that might develop this winter, you need to know the issues in my one-hour videotape entitled Deadly New Diseases. And farmers, if you'd like to know what's happening to the food supply and what's taking place as far as a family farmer in America, it's one of the most devastating stories in our country today. Torn from the Land, a one-hour professionally produced Hollywood-style video on musical score, everything, videotape. Any one or all four of my videotapes, which I would recommend that you get all four, you get four sets of books along with the four videotapes, and you can give the books out to your friends. By the way, the videotapes are not copywritten. Please copy them. Give them out every way you can. I do not have time to be greedy. I want you to get out the message as fast as you can. The videos are only $25 each, plus shipping and handling, and 800-321-2900. That's toll free, 800-321-2900.
The call-in number is 800-313-9443. The phone lines are wide open. If you international shortwave listeners, 9985 on your shortwave dial. I just had some disturbing news that we're going to be dropping to 12160 and going to 5070 and also 3210. Oh, WWCR, say it ain't so. Say it ain't so. At any rate, we'll take the break here. Second hour of the National Intel Report with my guest, Lindsay Williams, author of many different books. But Oil Energy Non-Crisis, the one that is probably most pertinent today as far as energy goes, and the scam that's being pulled on all the American people, along with the international banksters. We'll be right back.
The Berkey Light's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkey Light, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.